Well, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of Mark, we come to this important scene. The words themselves don't point out the importance that this passage has for us, but if we would go back and read the full Gospel of Mark, we would discover that this is a turning point in the story that Mark is telling, the story of Jesus. Up to this time, Jesus had been walking through Palestine, through Israel, and healing and teaching, doing great works. We've been listening to those stories now for many, many weeks since we began reading from the Gospel of Mark, way back in January. Well, now we're coming to a new chapter. This is really the close of an old one. As the passage begins today, we see this scene, and it can go by rather quickly as we tell the story, but maybe we need to turn around and rewind it and put it into slow motion so that we would be able to understand exactly what's happening and why this is really important for us. The first passage, the first part of this passage simply says Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho, and then he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. It seems to me that Jesus didn't arrive with a large crowd, but as he's leaving, people were listening. They were hearing all about Jesus. Perhaps the disciples who followed Jesus were telling that story as well, because that's what Jesus was training them to do all along. And so this story, as it gets around about Jesus, maybe they had heard others talk about him, but now they see him in the flesh. They said, this is the one, this is the guy. And so as he departs the city of Jericho, some 15 miles outside of Jerusalem, they follow him. Jericho is one of those cities that's been around a very, very long time. We hear about it in the Old Testament. We know the story of Joshua and the walls of Jericho and so on. We sing spirituals and children's songs about that. But apart from that, Jericho isn't particularly significant, except that outside of it was Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. Now, those two things actually go together most of the time, because in the time of Jesus, as we have discussed previously, often people saw people's afflictions like blindness or lameness or some other illness like leprosy and so on as afflictions given by God. Very much like the afflictions we heard about in the book of Job over these many weeks. But somehow they were punishments of God for being unrighteous or being sinful. Perhaps with the insights of Jesus, we know that not to be the case. But in the time of Jesus, this is what people believed. And that those who were truly righteous and good, they were blessed of God. And they had riches and a good life. So, beggary and being blind kind of went together. But there he was, sitting by the roadside. Now, obviously, Bartimaeus must have heard about Jesus somewhere because he can't see him, so he can't see the big crowd gathering around him. But as a blind person, he probably had developed a keen sense of hearing along the way. And maybe he had heard Jesus speak before, and he recognized that voice. And of course, he hears the murmuring of the crowd and all of them saying about this rabbi who they're following, and they're going to leave Jericho and follow him to Jerusalem. And so Bartimaeus realizes who this one is, and he says something very significant. And we might miss that, except that if we were reading again the whole of the Gospel of Mark, we would see that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And when he gets there, it wasn't just for a visit. It was, in fact, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem that we remember on Palm Sunday. So Jesus is going to Jerusalem And these are the final days of Jesus' life. And what's significant about what Bartimaeus says is he uses a title for Jesus that we have not heard before in the Gospel of Mark. He cries out and he says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Son of David. David now. David, he was the great king of Israel, the model king that everybody was supposed to emulate, who was the leader in Israel. He was the one who was righteous of God. He was the one closest to the heart of God, we are told, through the scriptures and in the Psalms that he left us. And so it was the son of David who would be seen as the one who would deliver Israel from its bondage, kind of like a newfangled Moses. But throw off the yoke of the Romans and establish a kingdom once more, and even an empire, as David and Solomon had done. They would make Israel great again. Son of David. This blind beggar, this blind one, he's the one who uses this title for the very first time in the Gospel of Mark. We've heard Jesus called various things, including the Son of Man, but never the Son of David. And this is how Jesus will be hailed as he rides into Jerusalem on the back of that donkey. And people are throwing their cloaks and palm branches in front of him as if he were already the king. Now, the very fact that there was a crowd leaving Jericho that didn't arrive in Jericho is significant, because maybe that's part of this big crowd that arrives in Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. And maybe Jesus, this rabbi who's been preaching these things and somewhat critical of the powers that be in Palestine, in Judah, in Israel, that he is now leading this band of people. So the authorities there in Jerusalem might be getting just a little nervous that maybe all this talk of kingship is real, and that he would turn the established order on his head and take power away from those who so jealously guarded it. Maybe that was the beginning of their plots against Jesus. But it's interesting that Jesus obviously is on a mission. Going to Jerusalem, it's been a steady progress now for quite a while in the Gospel of Mark. But the telling thing then, as we look at this slowly, is that once Jesus heard Bartimaeus' cry, Mark says these simple words: Jesus stood still. Jesus, the one on a mission, the one who would not be convinced that he should not do it, as Peter argued with him earlier. Now, it was this blind beggar that, as we might say today, stopped Jesus dead in his tracks. This blind one, this unfortunate one, the one who many thought cursed of God, he was crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stops and stands still. He interrupts his progress, his mission toward Jerusalem, to do this good thing. Now, the people around Jesus, they were busy keeping others away from him. They were sort of the palace guard, as it were. They were the ones who ensured that Jesus' mission would not be interrupted. Remember, a few weeks ago, we heard the story of the children who were wanting to see Jesus, and everybody pushing the children away, and Jesus said, no, let the children come to me. And he embraced them and blessed them and made him part of himself. This is no different. Notice what Jesus says: call him here. Let him come to me. And he does. Significant also is that we think nothing of it. Bartimaeus threw off his cloak, but remember, he's a beggar. He's probably what we would call a homeless person today. And that cloak of his, that was probably the most valuable possession he had, because it is what guarded him against the cold of the desert winter nights. It was the thing that covered him up when he didn't want to be seen. It was the thing under which he would probably guard and hide whatever few possessions he had. Maybe even food he would put in its pockets. So everything that he had in the world was represented by this cloak. And when Jesus calls him over, he throws it off. He leaves it behind. He didn't know if it would still be there when he got back, but he didn't care. He answered Jesus' call. Jesus called to him. Call him over here. And of course, the people trying to keep Bartimaeus away, keeping quiet, telling him to shut up. They changed their tune rather quickly when Jesus called him over, because after all, thou Bartimaeus must be somebody special. After all, the master wants to see him. And so, take heart, come, we'll take you there. How quickly they changed their tune. But then Jesus asks a poignant question. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus has a simple answer. The obvious one, one would think. Teacher, let me see again. I want to see. Imagine that. Imagine how you would feel if you had become blind and someone held out the promise that you could see again. How earnest that plea from deep within your heart. Teacher, someone with authority, someone I trust, the Son of David, shed your blessings on me. After all, that's what mercy means. We've talked about that too, that word, Kyrie eleison, that we so often use at the beginning of our liturgy, has no easy translation. It isn't simply mercy in the sense of pity or forgiveness. It is this flowing of blessings, slathered with God's grace and goodness, with every good thing. Jesus, Son of David, do that for me. And when Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do? He picks something specific. From the bottom of his heart, I want to see. The other healing stories, Jesus always does a little something, like he was sort of an ancient physician. We know other healing stories, particularly of blindness, where he would take spittle and he would put it on the person's eyes, or he would make a mud salve and put it on the person's eyes. He always do things. He didn't touch the man. He didn't even say, be healed. He simply affirmed that it was Bartimaeus' faith that would make him whole again, that would allow him to see again. Your faith, he says, has made you well. And Mark says, immediately. There's Mark's sense of urgency again. Immediately, Bartimaeus regained his sight and followed him on the way. And that's important, too, to see. Because all the other people that Jesus healed, they went out and they proclaimed the name of Jesus in the streets, in the byways. They went home to celebrate with their families. Bartimaeus did none of that. Bartimaeus followed Jesus immediately. And where was Jesus going? But to Jerusalem. To face trial. To face conviction. Mocking, beating, and ultimately his death on the cross. And this is what Bartimaeus did. How many times in our life have we asked God for things? Whatever they may be. And maybe we saw the answer to our prayers and maybe we didn't. Sometimes, though, I think we're not specific enough with God. How would you answer that question today, you here, sitting here, from the bottom of your heart, like this man who so earnestly, deeply wanted to see again, what would you answer to Jesus if Jesus looked at you in the eye and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" What would you answer? What specific thing? That's the nature of our prayer. It's so easy to pray for things in general, so easy to pray for world peace. But it's easy to pray for it because then we don't have to do anything about it. When Jesus asks us, "What do you want me to do for you?" He is asking us what we will accept from God. And in accepting it from God, take on the responsibility that is inherent in the gift that God gives us. And that responsibility is to be people who can see. We cannot afford to be spiritually blind. We can't simply turn away from evil in the world when we come across it. How many of us have walked down the street and we saw a beggar, they put out their hand, they asked us for spare change or something, and we either crossed to the other side or we simply ignored them and kept going. We didn't see them. Well, they were there, we saw them with our eyes, but our hearts were blind. How many times we've seen that when we see violence in the world, prejudice, bigotry, people disrespecting one another, and we say nothing. We do nothing. Maybe that's where we're blind. Which one of those things would you want Jesus to do for you? Would you want Jesus really to take away that blindness so that you cannot avoid seeing the evil that's in our world? You cannot avoid seeing the disruptions that are brought by evil? You cannot help but see the poor around us, the children who go hungry, the beggars on the street, the homeless, those who don't have a place to live or clothes on their back or any of those things. And we know them, we see them, and we do nothing. We are blind. So can we, with earnest hearts, plead from the bottom of those hearts, like Bartimaeus, "Great teacher, I want to see"? Or do we want to stay in our blindness? Maybe that's the question put to us today. As we enter this pivotal moment in the story of Mark's gospel, we will not hear of any more healing stories. The great signs, the great works of Jesus are at an end. In the story that Mark tells, there is only now the journey to Jerusalem and everything that follows his entry there. What do you want Jesus to do for you? What do we as a parish want Jesus to do for us? What will we seek from Jesus today? How will we be healed and made whole today? Are we willing to throw off our cloaks and run to Jesus for that healing grace, that mercy abundant, so that we too may follow him? That is the question. We are Bartimaeus. We are the ones who are sometimes blind. Let it be that today we would ask Jesus once more to help us to see, and being healed, follow.